prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you
free. Good morning. Welcome to Truth Revolution, where faith and reason meet, meaning you don't have to get rid of one to have the other. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Good morning. I am glad to be here today because today we are going to prove God exists.
We do that every week.
But we're really going to do it today. We're going to
hammer it home.
We are talking about the Kalam cosmological argument.
Yeah.
This will show that because the universe had a beginning, God must exist. Now we're going to get into exactly why that is.
Right. This is like your favorite proof for God, right?
This is my favorite proof for God.
Yeah.
We've talked about the teleological. We've talked about all kinds of different things, but out of the different reasons to believe in God's existence, this is one of my favorites.
Right. Well, I don't know whether it's just me or not, but this is a little confusing to me.
Well, okay. We're also going to talk about how the moon was made, and why does that help prove God's existence as well? The moon does.
Really?
Yeah. And of course, we're doing a Bible contradiction.
Yeah.
We do one of these every single week.
Found a new website to pull Bible contradictions off of.
Oh, well, bring it, my friend. Bring it. Because we don't believe there are Bible contradictions. So we resolve one of these every week. And also the question, are aliens real? We did that in our last show, there's a little update.
DNA found on an alien is what it says on the sheet here.
It says that on the sheet. DNA found on an alien.
What are you talking about?
You'll see when we get there.
Oh, boy. I really need to read these things before we go on the air.
Oh, it's just good information about they found a body. They thought it was an alien. They found some DNA. What is it?
Bigfoot.
This just came out today and yesterday.
And I really need to start watching the news.
So anyway, hey, we are on some new channels this morning, Dave.
We gotta welcome all our new listeners.
Definitely. We want to welcome the KJIL Network.
Right.
The family from Abilene, Emporia, Hutchinson, Manhattan, in Salina, Junction City, Fort Riley, Nickerson, McPherson, Clay Center, Scandia, and Belleville.
I know.
And all the places in between.
We just totally blew up our listening audience. I mean, as far as area.
We are just glad. Crazy. We're just glad you guys are with us this morning.
Right.
Welcome to Truth Revolution.
Thanks for having us.
Where faith and reason meet. That's what this show is about.
Right.
Taking our brains and our beliefs and making sure they fit together.
Right. You don't have to be an idiot to be a Christian. And certainly you can still hang on to your faith and study science and, you know, all that good scientific stuff.
So. Right. Too often Christians get accused of being anti-intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
And rightly so.
Yeah. Well, you know, because, you know, some atheists go into an argument and they already know, they've got it in their heads. Okay, this is how they're going to respond to this, and this.
Yep.
Because we do that far too often.
What we need to do is listen to people, hear what they're saying, analyze it, and come up with a rational, real response. We believe in truth because God is truth.
Right.
And if God is truth, then we have access to the real answers. And so what we want to do is we want to dig deep and find the truth. We're not scared of the real answers.
Because if you have the truth, and we believe we do, then you shouldn't be afraid of people asking questions. Because you're not going to uncover something that's going to shake your faith. We believe that if you search for the truth and you're honest in that search, that search is going to lead you to Jesus Christ.
That's right. So let's prove God exists today.
You can
head on over to truthrevolution.tv and you can hear a copy of this at truthrevolution.tv, our website, when we get done, if you need to review anything. So that would be helpful. Also, we're going to show, we have a secret video.
What?
Of what I'm going to teach today. We made a video of this.
This is radio.
What?
This is radio.
So you can't show video on radio?
No.
Okay, well, here's the video. Go to our website watch the video
on
the website.
Jeez.
I'm going to put a link. It's not public. It's only there for you who go to our website.
Right on.
But there was a Christian, and he asked the atheist, how can you not believe in God?
Right, and then the atheist says, do you believe in Allah?
The Christian said, no.
Atheist was like, it's kind of like that.
Okay. That's from the Thinking Atheist. That's from his Twitter post.
Right.
And, you know, when we say, how could they not believe in God? And their response is, well, you don't believe in Allah. It's the same thing. First of all, they're misunderstanding. We're not saying that we have to believe in every single God, that you have to believe in the specifics of every God. We're saying the concept of a God has to be there because of the nature of the universe.
Right.
How could you not believe in God is what a Christian says. And what the Christian really means is, have you looked at the nature of the universe the way it is, and how can you come to the conclusion that the universe ended up the way it is? Now, this is called the Kalam cosmological argument. Basically, if you're a philosopher, you like these things. You give an argument. One, two, three.
Right.
First argument, second argument,
always
your conclusion.
Leads to the third, right.
The conclusion, right? So here's the first thing. Whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause. Are you with mm-hmm. me, friends? That's fact number one. Whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause. Number two, the universe began to exist.
I would certainly hope so.
So we're going to have a conclusion here.
Mm-hmm.
If it's true that everything that had a beginning to its existence had to have a cause, and if it's true that the universe began to exist, well, then the universe must have had a cause.
Yeah, the Big Bang.
A creator.
Oh.
Now, the creator, I believe the creator used the Big Bang.
Right.
The scientists are pretty unified on that, and it's actually a very theological concept. But, simply put, something outside the universe must have caused it to exist in the first place.
Right, because, I mean, it makes common sense to think, like, I couldn't make myself exist out of nothing. Okay?
You can't?
Right.
How did you come into being?
Well, you'd have to talk to my mom and my dad about that. But
hey, we're on Christian radio now. Yeah. We can't talk about that.
But so something, the universe could not have caused itself to exist.
That's right.
Because.
Now, you're jumping ahead here, Dave.
I'm sorry.
All right, let's just slow down a minute.
I'm slow.
We're going to take these lines by lines.
All right.
We're going to look at number one first, which says, whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause. This is how we prove God exists.
Okay.
Whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause. That's our first thing. In metaphysics, this is known as the law of causality. Are you a big fan of metaphysics, Dave?
It's got the word physics in it, so it sounds like it actually causes
brother.
Some exertion or something
bro,
like that.
Brother. Anyway, it should be obvious that if something began to exist, something must have caused it to exist. For example.
Okay.
An apple comes from where, Dave?
An apple tree.
An orange comes from where?
An orange tree.
A Ford truck comes from?
The dealership down the road.
Or a factory. I don't think the dealership makes it.
Right.
But we come from our parents, right? A mm-hmm. baby cockroach comes from mommy and daddy cockroach.
Right.
Everything that had a beginning was caused by something. There's a reason for it to exist. It doesn't mean it has a good purpose in life. It just means something caused it to
right.
exist. Now, here's the thing that like critics will go, oh, yeah? Well, what caused God to exist?
God is an uncreated being.
There you go. We're not saying everything has to have a beginning. We're saying whatever had a beginning
had to have a cause.
Had to have a cause. God didn't have a beginning, so God doesn't need a cause. See, that's pretty simple.
Right.
God didn't have a beginning, so he doesn't need a cause. But if you had a beginning, you need a cause. Now, we're going to go on. We're going to say number two, the universe had a beginning. So the universe needs a cause of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, we're going to come back to this. I want to take just a minute, and since we got so many different topics today, and just to keep our new listeners on KJL as ADD laden as possible, we are going to, and also those of you on KSL and the other channels, we want to keep you stuck in ADD moments. So we are going to jump to another topic really quick. So put all that stuff about the cosmological argument in the side.
You just hit the brakes like that, man.
I'm sorry, Dave.
All right, sorry.
I want to talk about the moon. This is from the 10 Breakthroughs of 2012, Scientific Discoveries that Affirm Creation, from Reasons to Believe.
Okay.
We had this guy on the show.
Yeah, Dr. Rana.
Dr. Rana, as well as Hugh Ross from Reasons.org. Great place.
If you haven't caught that show yet, you can always catch it on TruthRevolution.tv.
That's right. And by the way, Revolution Church helps put this show on. You are more than welcome to come out to Revolution Church if you want to.
Right.
And we love talking about stuff like this, asking questions there. Anyway, one of the things they mentioned in 2012, they've come to discover a lot of things about the moon and how it came to be. One of the theories was that something collided with Earth early in Earth's history
mm-hmm.
and caused this big, great split of material. There was an explosion and material coalesced and formed the moon from Earth-like material.
Oh, okay. So the moon is actually made of Earth.
Basically. Yeah, it says here in the booklet that the location and the velocity and the angle of everything that happened to create the moon is very finely tuned. It happened just right to create the moon exactly like we needed it to, for life. Because if you remember from previous shows, the moon is a perfect size, it's a perfect weight, it's a perfect distance, right. Everything to regulate our weather, our tilt on the Earth's axis, so that we can live.
Yeah, if the moon goes away, everything just starts going haywire.
The moon goes away, we go away.
Right.
So it's very important. But it says that when this finely tuned accident flung a wealth of debris into orbit around the Earth, that eventually coalesced into the moon. And what they were noticing is that the moon material should have higher concentration of heavier isotopes of certain volatile elements because of the way that material got flung into space. And then when it re-coalesced, it's only going to take certain types of material, the heavier isotopes. And when we started examining the moon, they weren't finding this to be true. But then, in recent discoveries, it says, the quantity of zinc in lunar rocks falls noticeably below the amount found in terrestrial and Martian rocks.
Okay.
In other words, Earth and Mars have a lot more zinc. An impact model predicts such a result because the smaller gravity of the moon cannot retain the zinc as effectively as Earth or Mars can. Aha. In other words, the types of rocks and types of elements they're finding on the moon shows it probably was some sort of collision event that caused the moon, and this would take such precise accident to happen that it must have been caused by a divine being, that our moon would exist just because of an accident, and it just right. happened to form the exact right weight, the exact right size, at the exact right distance, at the exact right time to produce life on Earth.
Right.
Or to sustain life on Earth.
You know, it is kind of crazy that all this would be just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So what we're saying is we don't think it was an accident.
It wasn't.
We think this was caused by God. Okay, let's get back to the cosmological argument before we start a dance party. Okay, so by the way, don't forget, on our website, truthrevolution.tv, you can see a video of this cosmological argument to know how to prove God exists.
Right.
All right, we're giving you lots of details here. But basically, to sum it up in a sentence, how did we get here? Something put us here.
Right.
Something made the universe. All right, and the first thing was, whatever has a beginning had to have a cause. We know that. Apples are caused by apple trees. Oranges are caused by orange trees. Whatever began to exist, something caused it to exist. Now, the second part, we're saying the universe had a beginning to its existence. And believe it or not, Dave, some people disagree with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big contention, and it has been for years. You know, some people say, well, the Big Bang. Some people say, well, not the Big Bang. You know, but science is more... leaning towards that now. I mean, it's pretty staunchly in that corner.
Well, scientists initially rejected the theory of the Big Bang because they said it was too theological.
Right.
The universe has a beginning. Well, do you know what that implies? That implies someone began it.
And now a bunch of Christians deny that the Big Bang happened because it's too scientific.
Or because they think it implies evolution, right. Which it does not imply evolution.
It doesn't.
Listen, Christian friends, I love you. But evolution and the Big Bang are two totally different issues.
Yes, I agree.
We Christians should accept the Big Bang because it implies the beginning of the universe occurred. It happened.
Right.
Young Earth, 10,000 years old. Old Earth, you know, 14 some billion years ago. They all agree as Christians that the universe came into existence. And there are two type of reasons we know the universe had to have a beginning. Philosophical and logical. Scientific. Right. We're going to go over those on the other side of the break here.
Right.
We're already coming up to our break.
Right. You want to hit us up on truthrevolution.tv.
And you want to come out to Revolution Church sometime? Well, you're totally welcome to.
Right. That's Sundays at
10:15 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning at Revolution Church. You can also watch us online live if you can't get to Salina. So go to truthrevolution.tv and you will find a link to watch us online live. You can ask questions as I preach.
Right.
You can send hate mail if you want.
And some people have. But you can also check out past shows. You can also donate.
That's right. it takes money and time to produce a show like this. Mm-hmm. And you people support this show. You're the ones who make it happen. So I want to say big thank you to everyone who's given to this show.
Definitely.
And yeah, keep it happening. Check us on the other side of this break.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning, just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
An atheist website lists a proof against God's existence.
First, they say God is all good and loving.
We'd agree that our God is like that.
Then they say if God exists, it would be in his interest to make sure that people knew his morals exactly.
But they say humans disagree about morality. Therefore, God does not exist.
Now, we don't like the argument for a lot of reasons, but one is that C.S. Lewis has pointed out that different cultures actually have strikingly similar morals.
He said, if anyone will take the trouble to compare the moral teachings of, say, the ancient Egyptians, Babylonians, Hindus, Chinese, Greeks, and Romans, what will really strike them is how very much alike they are to each other and to our own.
He continues, men have differed as to whether you should have one wife or four, but they always agreed that you must not simply have any woman you liked.
Study it. Most cultures are more alike in the morals than they are different.
And this is not a disproof for the existence of God, but a proof for morality.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back.
We're back.
We're talking about the Kalam cosmological argument.
We are proving God exists.
Sometimes known as the horizontal cosmological argument, yes?
How'd you know that?
It's here in the notes.
Oh, jeez.
He thought I was smart.
I was like, Dave's a genius. Yeah. Actually, I think Dave is a genius.
Oh, thank you.
I really do. Because I wouldn't allow anyone less than a genius to be my co-host. I need to be stretched.
Right on. We'll put you on the rack. We'll get you stretched.
Not that kind of stretched. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Check out our site, truthrevolution.tv. You can hear past shows. You can hear Truth Shots, 60 seconds right. of truth every single day.
Every weekday.
Every weekday. Mm-hmm. I said every day, but that was a lie.
Yeah, we give you the weekend to recoup.
I repent for my sin. Every weekday, Monday through Friday, 60 seconds of truth at truthrevolution.tv. Okay, do we want to talk about aliens really quick, or do we want to do the Bible contradiction or finish this cosmology?
Since you mentioned the Bible contradiction, let's go ahead and do it.
Okay, the Bible contradiction, just so you know, this is something we do every week. We believe that the Bible doesn't contain error, and so we want to show people, hey, you think there's a Bible contradiction? Here's how you resolve it.
Bible contradiction.
All right, like I told you earlier, I found a new website to get some Bible contradictions from. Found a couple of them, actually.
Yes!
This is one of them. It's the Freedom From Religion Foundation website.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation.
FFRF.org.
Can I join that?
Probably.
No, I don't think I could.
Yeah. Well, you could go in there and actually infect them with some good stuff.
Oh, okay.
All right. Check it out. Shall we keep the Sabbath or shall we not?
Oh,
it says
good
here
question.
That the Bible contradicts itself.
Contradiction on the Sabbath?
Yeah, Exodus 28 and Isaiah 1:13. Exodus 28 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Everybody remembers that. It's one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, we know that one.
Right. Isaiah 1:13 says, though, stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies.
Oh, man. I'm with you, Isaiah. When I was in college, we had to go to convocations every week. I hated them.
Yeah.
What? It says new moon, Sabbaths, and convocations. Yeah. I cannot bear them. Oh, okay. Anyway, well, it's a contradiction here, Dave.
Right. Well, God says in Exodus 20, verse 8, or keep the Sabbath.
Do the Sabbath.
Yeah, Isaiah 1:13 says, I'm tired of it.
I'm sick of it.
I'm sick of it.
So this is a contradiction. Obviously, the Bible is flawed fundamentally.
It is. The show's over. Let's go home.
All right, time to, at least I'll get my Sunday mornings back.
Right.
No, okay. This is not a contradiction. The way we tackle contradictions here is first we mock them slightly just to joke them. We just joke around. Actually, we like Bible contradictions, and we love it when people send us Bible contradictions because it helps us learn and think through the Bible. And if there is an error, we're going to admit that there's an error.
Right.
I promise you. That is a guarantee I make to you. But this isn't one of them. We use this acronym called CRACT to solve Bible contradictions. You can find it on our website, truthrevolution.tv. Mm-hmm. The acronym starts with C, context. R, revealed. It has to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, there's things you can't understand. Mm-hmm. A, author's intent. And it keeps going through the whole acronym. For A, we're going to, obviously, for A is what we're going to use today, author's intent.
Okay.
Okay, when you're reading Exodus 20, who was the author that said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? This was from Moses to the people, giving them the law of God.
Right.
Okay, his intent was to tell them how to follow the law.
Okay,
now,
right.
You get to Isaiah, and Isaiah is telling the people this because God is ticked off.
Uh-huh.
God is angry.
Well, obviously, he doesn't want to keep the Sabbath anymore.
Well, it's not that he doesn't want to keep the Sabbath. What he's saying is there's much more to my law than simply keeping the Sabbath. He wants people's hearts as well. And if you look this up in context, you'll see his intent was to wake them up.
Mm-hmm.
When he says, look, I don't want your Sabbath. I don't want your offerings. Everyone should have gone,
yeah,
what?
Shock value.
Whoa, wait a minute. God doesn't even want us to keep the Sabbath? What's going on? It's not that God didn't want them to follow the law, that he was trying to shock them, wake them up so that they would give them their hearts and their minds as well as obey them in the law. This isn't a Bible contradiction. It is simply God trying to wake these people up so that they can obey the rules. That's it. And as for, we're not going to tackle the New Testament for the Old Testament for this, because there's totally different things about the Sabbath in the New Testament.
Right.
But this is all Old Testament, and that's the answer for our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right. I thought it was a legitimate one, but...
It legit. Okay, so back to the Kalam cosmological argument. Everything had a beginning. We know that. That began to exist. Everything had a cause. It began to exist. The universe began to exist. Now, we know this because, first of all, and this is explained on our video on the website a lot better. We're going to go over this quickly here. But basically, you cannot come through an infinite amount of time and arrive here in the year 2013.
Right. You would never get here.
You would never get here.
Because infinity goes back, I'm sorry to say it,
forever!
Infinitely.
So if time started forever ago, we could have never gotten to the point where we are now.
We would have never made it to the 50s.
Is that a good thing? That's a good thing.
No,
we would have never made it to the 70s, and that's a good thing.
Right.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. But you see, the problem is, if you are trying to get from one point to another in time, and there's an infinite amount of time, how long will it take you to get from point A to point B?
Well, it'll take you however long it takes you to travel, but you'll never get there.
No, it'll take you forever.
Right, but then you'll never get there.
Because if you have an infinite amount of time, there's an infinite amount of distance between any two points on that line.
Right.
So from when it started until now was an infinite amount of time, but you can't go over an infinite amount of time.
Right, but I'm telling you, you'll eventually not get there.
That's, stop confusing people. You'll eventually not get there. All right. And now science gives us another reason the universe hasn't always existed, that we know it has a beginning. It's the second law of thermodynamics.
Right.
It tells us in real simple terms, in a closed system, everything runs down. You know what a closed system is, Dave?
Yeah. It's a system that's closed.
Very good.
It's pretty much something, a system that has no...
I knew you were a genius.
A system that has nothing to influence it from the outside.
Right. Nothing's put in. Nothing's right. taken out.
Right.
Our universe is a closed system. It can't get more energy from other universes. It can't lose energy because everything that exists is in our universe.
Right.
So your car, in a way, could be a closed system if you never put gas into it, if you never fixed it. But it's not a closed system because you have to fill it with gas. You have to replace parts. What would happen if you didn't put gas into it?
Well, if you made your car a closed system, it would eventually break down. It would actually run out of gas.
It would die. Yeah. Your body. What if you made your body a closed system?
You never ate and you never sweat or any of this stuff.
You're eventually going to die.
Yes.
Everything that's a closed system runs out of energy. You have to take your car to the mechanic. Hot food will get cold. Batteries in your remote control will run out of power. On a large scale, this is true too. Stars eventually die. Black holes eat up solar systems. And believe it or not, the entire universe is slowly cooling down.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists have measured and noted that in 10 to the 30 year, that's trillions and trillions of years from now, the universe will be 90% dead stars. Our sun won't exist. 9% of the universe will be gigantic black holes preparing to eat the rest of the universe. And 1% will be simple matter like hydrogen. Now, this isn't going to happen for trillions upon trillions of years. If we even get that far, Jesus is going to come back. Don't worry about it. But
we'll just leave it for our children's children's children to take care of.
If the universe has always existed, then technically it should have cooled off a long time ago.
And we would have nothing but dead stars.
Exactly. And so we know the universe had a beginning, and it wasn't trillions and trillions of years ago. Otherwise, we would have lost energy. Now, we explained this really well in the video. Got some cool graphics. You got to check it out, truthrevolution.tv. But let's review the argument. Whatever had a beginning to its existence had to have a cause.
Right.
Things don't come out of nowhere. Second, the universe had a beginning. It didn't always exist. It had a beginning.
Right.
And if the universe had a beginning, and if everything that has a beginning had a cause, the universe has to have...
a cause.
Yes, that's right. And that is God right there. Since the universe is everything that exists, the very thing that caused it to exist must be the creator. That's God. And that is the Kalam cosmological argument.
Right, but you're talking about a closed system. Would God not make that not a closed system?
Oh, you're saying because God can input stuff into it. Well, if you know, the whole point here is to prove that God exists.
Oh,
so if you're
accomplished.
Yeah, so if you're saying, well, no, God puts stuff into the universe, well, then you're already granting that God exists. Right. So, but that's a really, really good question.
I'll just sit over here in the corner now.
No, that was good. Okay, before we go, we want to talk about the alien.
Okay.
We only got a couple minutes left. Want to remind everybody, Revolution Church starts at 10:15 on Sunday mornings.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a chance to get out there some week, we'd love to have you.
Oh, definitely.
Just come as you are, pajamas, whatever.
We have people show up in their pajamas, actually.
But yeah, it's great stuff. We are all about mercy. You know, yes. We want to love people and forgive people and help them know God better. So
right.
Come on, it's Revolution Church sometime. And check out our website, truthrevolution.tv. If you find this show helpful, you can donate.
Right.
And make it happen. Okay, so there was a teensy-weensy little alien that they found, 6 inches long.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture you got here. We're going to put this up on the website.
You can put the picture up?
Yeah, I got
it. Okay, good. If you want to see the alien, you got to go to our website, truthrevolution.tv. The skeleton, the article says here from NBC News, the skeleton showed several anomalies, including its alien-like skull, teensy body, and the fact that it had just 10 ribs, other than the 12 healthy humans have. And what they found out, and people were obviously saying, if you look at the picture, they're saying, this is an alien. This is a little alien.
It looks alien.
It does. But what happened is this mummified specimen, they ran DNA tests, and they suggest that the individual was actually a human.
Oh, he got left in the dryer too long.
Possibly 6 to 8 years of age when he or she died. Even so, the remains are just 6 inches long. But the DNA says it's a human, so it probably is a human. We're going to link to the whole article if you want to read it.
That is crazy.
It's not an alien. It's a human. Why it is the way it is, we don't know. But anyway, truthrevolution.tv is our website. Thank you, everybody on KSAL, who's a longtime listener or new listener. Thank you to everybody on KJIL, who's listening in for the first time. We are glad to have you here.
And we're glad that you're having us.
That's right. So, hey, if you got any questions you want answered, any challenges to pose to the Christian faith, hit us up, truthrevolution.tv. You can ask questions, send in challenges, or request for topics on apologetics and philosophy and the Bible. So, get on over to truthrevolution.tv. We'd love to have you visit the site, send us a question, or donate, or just peruse. We'll see you next week at Truth Revolution.